Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Jesus. Jesus. Church, you may be seated. But please don't try to be in a hurry. Because I'm not. And I'm going to wait on the Lord for just a moment. I may or may not need you, sound booth. I don't know. It's not what I prepared. I may end up going back to what I prepared. But as we're worshiping, I just felt drawn to the story of Elijah. And this may just be something quick. I don't know. We'll see. First Kings, not Krings. I don't know where Krings is, but Kings. 1 Kings 18, verse 41. Now Elijah said to Ahab, "Go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of the roar of a heavy shower." And that is an amazing, amazing word to give for Elijah to say to Ahab. There's the sound of the roar of a heavy shower. Did it rain on anybody yesterday? I heard a little bit of a roar of thunder. Rained a little bit at my house, not a lot, not enough to fill the pool or anything, but rained a little bit at my house. If you read this story, if you read and study Elijah, what you will find is before this, Elijah had prayed and asked God that it wouldn't rain. And it didn't. And it didn't rain. And it didn't rain. And it didn't rain. And it didn't rain. And then after that, it didn't rain. And shortly after that, it didn't rain. It just wasn't raining. And then you see this great battle, which is one of my all-time favorites. One of my all-time favorite battles in the Bible, where Elijah is facing off against the prophets of Baal, I believe. I didn't read any of this before today, so If I say something wrong, you can crucify me later if that's what it takes. But I'm going off the cuff here, okay? I'm going off of my recollection and relying on the Spirit to remind me of these stories. So if I'm off base about what I'm talking about, what I'm quoting before this story, please have grace. But what I remember is this is exactly after the battle between the Elijah the prophet and the prophets of Baal, where they had all of these prophets of Baal, like hundreds of prophets against Elijah. And it's an amazing story because I love the boldness of Elijah at certain points in the story, because he tells them, you prepare a sacrifice before Baal and I'll prepare a sacrifice before my God. And whoever's is burned up will know theirs is the true God. And so they prepare their sacrifice and they begin to pray and they begin to call out to Baal and they begin to do all of these things, jumping and shouting and probably look like a Pentecostal service. I mean, just hooting and hollering and, you know, all this stuff going on. Not that that was bad. It's just they're praying to the wrong God. And so all of this is happening. And I love Elijah because Elijah starts to say things to them like, maybe you need to get louder. Maybe you need to get even louder. And I know I've quoted this before, but there's one translation that says, maybe you're still not loud enough because maybe your God's in the bathroom and can't hear you. And that just brings so much joy to my heart. Maybe he's in the bathroom and just can't hear you. Right? Okay, I always tell stories, and this one's on me, okay? Sort of. Jacob was tiny. He was probably 2. And we're at the checkout line in Walmart. And Tammy's, you know, paying the cashier or whatever. And out of nowhere, I mean, nobody's talking to Jacob. I mean, nothing. He just yells out of nowhere, Dad, get off the toilet. And I'm just like, what? That's just kids, right? They just do weird, crazy things. But that's what I think of when I hear, maybe they're in the toilet, just can't hear you. You know? Baal, get off the toilet. Right? But it just brings me joy because Elijah is so confident in his God and has zero confidence in Baal. Because he knows his is the one true God. Knows. No doubt, no question. He's tried it. He's tasted and seen that the Lord is good. Right? He has so much confidence. And so then Elijah, they do all of their stuff. They cut themselves and do all kinds of crazy nonsense and nothing happens. And then Elijah prepares his offering and tells them to get pitchers and pour water on it. It's wood and it's a bull, I believe. And he just says, okay, there, it's all ready. Now you just pour water on it and pour more water on it and pour more water on it and pour more water on it. That's confidence. That's trust. You put whatever you want to on it. It can be floating in water. And my God's going to burn it up. And so they go through all this and he prays and fire falls from heaven. And burns up the entire thing. I mean, the whole thing is burned up. In fact, let me see if I can see exactly the verse 38. Then the fire of the Lord fell, consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. Nothing left. Fire falls from heaven and it's all gone. But it still hasn't rained. And immediately after this, Elijah looks to Ahab and he says, go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of the roar of a heavy shower. Did he hear something? Or did he believe something? What was it? Was it something that he actually heard, or was this a prophetic voice of Elijah saying this is about to happen? Well, was this Elijah standing up and after, it's always easier to do something out of faith like this after you've just seen God do something amazing, right? So he's got this 10-foot tall and God's bulletproof thing going on for him. And so he says to Ahab, go on and eat and drink because I hear the sound of the rain. We have to be a church of faith. We have to be a church of faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by what we hear. We walk by faith and not what the news tells us. We walk by faith and not by what Facebook tells us or Instagram or whatever other thing that you've been looking at and reading at. That doesn't make any sense. Told you, this is totally off the cuff. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And I read that in a book somewhere. One of them. Is one of those books I read. Yeah. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Without faith, sacrifice isn't burned up. Because Elijah had faith and prayed. But he also spoke out of faith. We've been talking about prophecy and the prophetic and the difference between prophesying and being a prophet. This has been kind of our whole theme for the last, I don't even know how many weeks, on Wednesday nights in adult Bible study. And it's been really, really good stuff. Sometimes we've not always agreed on everything, but we always go to the Word and use it as our background. Like, that, this is where we get our background information from, is from the Word. We go to it and we say, this is what this says. What does this mean to you? What does it say? How does this make you feel? What do you think? Can we do this? Can we prophesy? Can we speak things like Elijah is speaking? He's saying, I believe I hear the sound of a storm coming. We have to be people of faith that will start saying, I hear this. I see this. Even sometimes when you don't. Because sometimes God's waiting on us to start acting in faith for Him to respond to what we're asking Him to do. Right? When we say we want this, but act like it's never going to happen, God says, well, you know, if you start acting like it, I'll start doing it. Not before, but after we start acting like we're people of faith. There's this thing, there's this, and we're on one today. There's this movie scene. I'm not going to tell you the movie. I'm not going to tell you the actors. I'm not going to tell you any of that stuff. But there's a scene, and these two men are in conflict, and one of them hits the other one and bloodies his mouth, right? And maybe his nose. And he looks at him, and it's one of my favorite movie lines, because he says, are you just going to stand there and bleed? Or are you going to do something? And there's something about that for me in the church. Because we have this... This is going to be great on recording. Some of us have this tendency to look at the world and say, the world's just always going to... bad. We'll go there. I would offend some of y'all if I said that other word. And we just sit there and we just go, oh, there's just, oh, it's just, it's so bad. And especially after COVID, I'll even say it this way, COVID round one. Because we're in the middle of, or the beginning of, what they're calling round two. We're going to stand there and bleed, or we're going to do something. We're going to become the church of faith that begins to pray and believe and say, I see it going away. Or are we going to say, well, we're going to have to shut down the church again and we're going to have to go to all online services and we're going to have to do all this and oh my goodness, what are we going to do? Are we going to start to be a church of faith that says, by faith, I believe we're not going to be affected by it. By faith, I believe that we're going to be able to do things totally differently. By faith, like I'm telling you, I had a meeting this week with some pastors and the conversation came up about whether or not if it turns again, are we going to close the doors? And I sat with a group of men who said, we just talked about it this week in my board, and we said, we're not shutting down. We're not closing our doors. Is that right? Or is that faith? You know, I can tell you that in the realm that I operate, as far as the church world and church leadership world goes, there are churches who are running at 25 to 30% capacity of what they were before COVID. And those churches are gradually regaining some. Gradually. But they all know that they have people that aren't coming back. They just aren't. They're afraid of COVID. They've gotten out of the habit and the routine of going to church because I don't like it. I don't like calling church a routine or a habit. But sadly, for some of us, it is. And it just takes a few weeks to get out of that habit or that routine for us to think, well, I'll just watch it online. I don't have to show up. I don't have to do this. I don't have to do that. I can go to the lake and still watch it. And you can do that for a lot of churches. We haven't gone online, not saying we won't ever, but we just haven't made that investment and made that decision to do that yet. Could someday, I don't know. I don't know. I'm not going to commit to you that we will, but I'm sure not going to tell you that we won't. But I see Elijah, and I see this act of faith. And it's one thing to have an act of faith where you tell yourself, I'm going to do this. And when I do this, God's going to do something. But that's not what Elijah did. It's something totally different when you tell somebody else, this is what's going to happen. And this is Ahab. This was king. This was leader. This was somebody that you didn't want to tell something to if it wasn't going to happen, right? That's like telling your boss the report's going to be done by the end of the week when you know it's not even been started yet. And it's Thursday night. It'll be done by tomorrow. By faith, Lord Jesus, help me. It's going to happen in my sleep. It's just going to come to me, right? But he tells the king, he says, I hear the sound. There is the sound of a roar of a heavy shower. Spoke it by faith. And so the king went up to eat and drink. Verse 42. But Elijah went to the top of the mountain, crouched down on the earth and put his face between his knees.
Is that just, he's just sitting there? Or you think he's praying? I mean, I think that's implied. Not spoken specifically, but I think that's implied. What in the world else would he do? Crouch down with his face between his knees, but pray. Verse 43. Told his servant, go now, look toward the sea. So he went up and looked and said, there's nothing. And he said, go back. He told him to go back seven times. Sometimes God doesn't answer on the first time. Sometimes it's begun, but you just can't see it yet. So sometimes you're looking and it's just, God's just begun to do something that he's going to do. And so I love that Elijah sent the servant back seven more times after the initial time. Every time it's an act of faith. Every time it's a commandment of faith. Hey, go look again. Hey, go look again. Hey, go look again. Because sometimes you gotta keep looking. And when you stop looking, you're gonna miss it. And some of us have missed it because we quit looking. We stop looking for God to do something. We're coming and we're asking for prayer and we're saying we believe, but really deep down in our heart, we've kind of given up. Because that happens when you've gone back six times, when you've gone seven times and you still haven't seen it. Because sometimes faith is hard. Because sometimes believing is the hardest thing in the world. And I love it. I think it's incredibly funny that sometimes people think, if non-believers think that as believers, we've got it easy because we can just rely on a God to do something. Well, it's easy to believe. Am I the only one that's ever had a moment where it wasn't easy to believe? Am I the only one that's ever had that time, that situation, that circumstance where the hardest thing in the world for me to do was to continue to believe because of the circumstance I was in? Because the pain I was experiencing, because of the situation I was going through, it became so difficult for me to actually continue to believe in the God that I said I believed in. Because I had asked him to do something and believed and tried to stand in faith and it just wasn't happening. And I can tell you about other people I know, some even sitting in this room, that I wonder, and not because of any other reason, but the fact that they've been going through something for so long. That my heart becomes, my prayer becomes, help them to keep their faith. Help them to maintain that ability to believe in that thing that they're not yet seeing. God, help them. Lord God, I'm thinking about some people and I'm thinking, God, let them go back another time and look again. Let them go back another time and look again, because I just believe, God, if they keep going back and keep looking, that one of these days they're going to go and they're going to look and they're going to see that thing, at least the beginning of that thing. They're going to see that God has begun to do what he said, what you're believing for, what you're trusting him for. You're going to begin to see him begin to do that thing. I think of because we've talked about it so many times, I think of Brother Barney. Some of you don't know him well enough to know that he had a severe injury to his neck for many, many years that he dealt with. And that became very hard for him to continue to walk in faith and believe that God was actually going to do something.
And he's openly talked about it with me and with others in the men's group about how hard it became for him to continue to walk through that. I think about Sister Martha and her struggles with her health, and that by faith we're saying she is well and healed. Like, we prayed for her just last week, and I'm just believing that one of these times we're going to get that "I see the cloud the size of a man's hand" report back from Sister Martha, because something has began to turn, something has began to change. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we have to continue those steps of faith. And I don't care how many times we have to pray for you or for anybody else. I'm a believer. Like, I love that. I want to be that persistent widow character. I want to have that kind of a thing where I start to go to God in prayer for something, and he just says, "Man, I'm going to do it, because if I don't, he's never going to stop bringing that to me." Like, he's never going to stop asking for that thing that he's asking for right now, because he's going to every time he prays, he's going to ask for that thing. And if I don't do it, I'm going to have to listen to him all the time. Over and over again. "Oh no, there goes Seth again praying. He's going to ask for that one more time. I just know he's going to ask for that thing. If that's what it takes, that's what I'll do." Sometimes it's a matter of, what are you willing to do? How far are you willing to go? How long are you willing to persist? How much are you willing to believe for? It's more of a matter of what you're willing to do than what God can do. What are you willing to believe for? What are you willing to step out in faith for? Like, we talked about, maybe it was just before service Wednesday night, I think. Maybe it was Wednesday night. I don't know. Days run together. We talked about Noah. Was that Wednesday night? I think so. It took Noah like 100 years to build the ark. That's 100 years of criticism. That's 100 years of people questioning and doubting you. That's 100 years of him walking in faith every day. "What am I going to do today?" "Well, I'm going to get up and work on the ark, because someday it's going to rain. Maybe not today. Maybe not tomorrow. But someday it's going to rain. I'm so encouraged. And at the same time, kind of like, 100 years. Could I have done it for 100 years? Could I have every day, could I have done that for 100 years? When people around you are saying, "He's crazy. He's building a boat because a flood's coming. And we don't even know what a flood is." Right, exactly. They literally, he's telling them there's a flood coming, and they don't have a clue what he's talking about. It's like saying to somebody 200 years ago, if you told people then that there were going to be these automated machines that you could get in and go from place to place, and some of them would be electric and some of them would be fuel, they would have gone, "Huh." Part of the reason the book of Revelation looks the way it is because God's revealing things to John the Revelator that he had no way of conceptualizing in his mind, of wars and machinery that he had no way of knowing would ever exist. So sometimes you read that book and you go, "What is he even talking about?" He's trying to express to you what he sees when he doesn't understand what he sees. Thank you. That was funny. I have to admit. Somehow I called up Siri and she said, "That's an interesting question." Was that an amen, Siri? I mean, come on. Verse 44, it came back about the seventh time. Behold, a cloud as small as a man's hand is coming up from the sea. Some of you have been asking and praying for so long that maybe you've even stopped looking. You say seven times. If it had happened by the seventh time, I'd have quit looking for this 8 years ago. If I could have seen just the beginning of it, just the cloud the size of a man's hand, if I could have seen that, I'd have stopped praying years and years ago. Because it hadn't happened yet. I'm still struggling with this. This is still not right. And my health and my marriage and my finance and my whatever is still... I'm still struggling with it. And it's been years, and I've been praying that God would do something. And I've been asking Him. I've been trying to walk like it was already happening. I've been trying to do all of these things, and it still isn't happening. And I wonder, by the Holy Spirit right now, I wonder if you need to ask somebody else to look. Because sometimes our circumstance clouds our vision. Because sometimes we've been looking for it so long, even if it showed up, we wouldn't see it. Even if it began, we wouldn't recognize it. Even if it started, we would still be going, yeah, but it's just this one time. Yeah, but it's barely any different. Yeah, but that's just a coincidence. Maybe you need to ask somebody else to start looking, and maybe you need to ask somebody else to start conveying to you what they see. That's good stuff right there, because sometimes I don't see well. You ever, maybe I'm alone in this, and maybe it's just because I'm getting old. Because the more tired I am, the harder it is for me to see. The more affected my vision is, the more tired I am. The longer I've been up, like yesterday, Sister Tammy made me work on cleaning out the garage. And it was hard work. And we were exhausted. Praise God for showers, because man, oh man, I needed one. But the more tired I get, the more my vision is affected. And sometimes the longer we're looking for something, the harder it is for us to see. So sometimes we have spent so long looking for something that if it actually showed up, we would overlook it. Because we've gotten used to seeing the same thing for so long. Here we go. Men, how many of you notice when your wife changes her hairstyle? Ha ha ha!
Have you ever gotten in trouble? Because color changed? Nothing. Shorter, longer, whatever, and you just didn't even see it? Curtains were changed in the house. Bedspread was changed on the bed. Something else, and you just never even saw it? Never even says anything. Tammy actually said, she sent me a message this week. Said, would you please send me a selfie? She said, my coworker doesn't believe that you have facial hair. Like, she doesn't remember you having facial hair. I've shaved it since then, but at the time I had a goatee. And so I texted her a picture. I don't see that lady often, but I don't even know why I came up in the conversation. But I didn't question it, I just did it. You know, your wife asks you for something, you try your best to do it. Because happy wife, happy life. Just saying. But I wonder if some of us are so used to our circumstances being the way they are that they've begun to change and we don't even recognize it. But if you ask somebody else, they could say, oh yeah, that's been different for a while now. What do you mean? Well, you haven't been limping like you used to limp. Oh, I haven't been. You haven't, you know, did that thing where you grunt when you try to get up out of your chair like you used to do. Oh, yeah, I don't. Like, sometimes it's changed and you don't even know it because you've lived with it so long you forget that anything's ever even happened. And I wonder if you're still looking for a cloud that's already formed and already pouring. I wonder if you're looking for something, for God to do something that He's already been doing. Because you're so clouded by your circumstance and the past and what you haven't seen for so long. That you haven't seen it happening, that when it actually started to happen, I wonder how many people even would have recognized the cloud that the servant of Elijah recognized. And I wonder if Elijah would have even recognized it. But the servant did. The servant said, I see a cloud the size of a man's hand. Go to Ahab, prepare your chariot, go down so that the heavy shower does not stop you. I'm going to pray. And I'm going to pray in a way, out of faith, that what it is that you've been asking for, I'm going to pray in a way that says, you better get up and go because it's about to pour. And I don't want it to stop you. I'm going to pray in a way that whatever it is that you're looking for, whether it is financial help, whether it is spiritual, whether it is marital, no matter what it is, that thing that you've been looking for, the thing that you've been praying for, the thing that has had you and kept you on your knees, or the thing that has been trying to draw you to your knees that you should have been on your knees for, and that is coming in a way that it's just like you better start acting like it's coming because it's about to pour. I'm going to pray.
I believe this as much as maybe anything I've ever preached in my life, because I ain't even read this story and I don't even know how long, but in worship, God brought this to me. So I just believe with all of my heart that it's about to rain, church. That it's about to pour over whatever your situation is. So I'm going to pray out of faith. Yes, God, I thank you, Lord. If this is you, would you stand out of faith? And nobody looking around to see who's standing. It ain't none of your business who's standing. But some of us need it to rain. And some of us need it to rain now. So I'm praying, God, right now, that if there's a single person standing, Lord, if there's anybody standing, God, looking for rain, looking for you to reign over their situation, whether it's their health, whether it's their finance or their marriage, God, whether it's even their own spiritual life, Lord God, that as we stand, Lord, as they all stand, Lord, that you, God, we're calling it forth, God. We're calling forth that cloud the size of a man's hand, God. We're calling it out right now. Believing, God, we're going to leave this place acting like it's happening even before we see it, God. And that when we get home, we will not hesitate to get on our knees before you, God. Asking, God, we're going to keep praying until we see it happen, Lord. We're going to keep praying until we see it happen, God. And in the meantime, we're going to act like it already is. God, let us be persistent. Let us be, God, that your people, your church, God, that's going to come to you until you do it, God. We're going to keep coming to you until you do it. We're not going to hesitate. We're not going to wait, God. We're not going to hold back. We're going to keep seeking you. We're going to keep bringing this before you, God. And we're going to act like it's about to rain, God. Father, form the rain clouds to pour out the blessing. Form the rain clouds, God, to pour out the blessing. Oh, Father. Lord, I pray for the rain clouds, God. Pouring out healing. Pouring out financial blessing. Pouring out spiritual blessing. Pouring out, God. Oh, Lord, all that we're asking for, all that we're seeking you for, all that we need you for, God, that you're going to pour it out upon us, God. Oh, Lord. God, we come empty-handed with nothing to offer you but us. Father, we trust you. My God, I believe in you. I have faith in you and confidence in you, God. Oh, Lord. Let us see the clouds, God. Let us see the clouds. Oh, Father. Yes, Jesus, I thank you. Yes, Jesus, I thank you. Oh, God, let us walk in faith. Oh, God, not by sight. Not by feeling, God, not by hearing, Lord, but in faith, let us walk, taking every step in faith, full commitment, full trusting of you, God. Oh, Jesus. Father, I pray that this word would be yes and amen. Let it be done, God, on earth as it is in heaven. Father, as we leave this place, I pray that you bless us, that you keep us, that your face shines upon us. Oh, Father, give us peace and give us rest in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.